to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 184 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. I am extra jacked tonight. Why? Because we are going back truck racing tonight. Yes, I'm so excited. The goal is to have this show posted by 8 o'clock, which means nothing to you guys because it's not live. But that's the goal. Cannot wait to tune into some trucks. All right. I hope you all had a fantastic Memorial Day weekend. The weather was superb up here for a three-day weekend. Had an extremely busy weekend. Wrapped up a ton of landscaping around the house, 700 pieces of retaining wall, 5 yards of dirt, 10 yards of mulch, planting, all while smoking and grilling meat. Oh, and least not forget, there was some racing that I had to squeeze in there. So it was very busy. Michigan. While we will not get into politics on this show, you can hang out in groups of 10 or less, which was awesome. So the Yunkers came into town Sunday to hang out and watch the 600, which was great. Had a blast with them Sunday night. And I hope you guys were able to check out 100,000 cameras on Sunday afternoon. That was so cool to be a part of that. I sent a few clips over to them, had no idea what they were going to use, and it was so awesome. And I was so honored that they used the clip of me setting up the intro to the command to fire engines by the first responders, essential workers, which included Michael Palmer, who was on the show during the Listener Call-In Show. I'm sure you guys have all followed him. He's from Michigan. He's an ER nurse. He got COVID. I mean, this dude has had a hell of a 30 days. And I talked to him earlier this afternoon. He is going to be on the show next week, which I'm really excited about. I think that's going to be awesome. Going back to the 100,000 cameras, friends and family all watched. It was a great moment. If you missed it, I know it's been replayed a few times. I think they're going to continue to do that. I think it'll end up being on YouTube as well. Just cool. Just very cool. Something different for the show, and I absolutely loved it. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Hope you guys enjoyed last week's show with Alex Hayden, continuing the alliance with MRN Racing and MRN Radio. We're talking about racing. God, I said I'm jacked. I'm ready to go tonight, Left Traffic Nation. Let me tell you. We got a ton of racing to talk about. One of the downfalls, though, is, you know, show comes out on Tuesday. And last week, you know, we had the cup race on Wednesday. You know, that's kind of been talked about a lot already. Everybody knows. So just kind of take what happened Wednesday to set the scene for Sunday and kind of go with the flow there. I think there are a few key things that happened Wednesday that played a part on that impacted Sunday. Hashtag middle finger. We'll see how that goes. Great show lined up tonight. Thad Moffitt, grandson of Richard Petty, got him lined up here in just a second. The trucks are about to go soon. Got the Xfinity race from Charlotte, the 600 from Charlotte. Social media. Brian Newdorf will be on to finish out the weather for this week and to set the scene for this weekend at Bristol. Tons of lucky dog and lap down picks. A true fantasy segment. I think that was Sherwin that just texted if that sound made it through there. Let's get things rolling. Let's get Thad Moffitt on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his debut on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the driver there, number 46, with DGR Crosley in the Arca Menards Series. He's got 6 top 10s in just 17 starts and coming off a top 5 at the season opener at Daytona. Welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast, Thad Moffitt. Thad, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm awesome, man. Thanks for coming on. Happy late Memorial Day weekend. How was your weekend? Did you guys have any fun?
Yeah, it was awesome because racing's back and I got to watch the Coca-Cola 600.
Absolutely. Oh, man. Like, we can all rejoice now, right? Like, racing is back, you know?
Yep.
When they first announced it, was like, all right, are they really going to go back? Like, but once I saw cars at Darlington, I'm like, all right, they're serious. We're back to racing.
Yeah, and that was awesome. That was the turning point. It was like, okay, we're doing this now. When, and then I was like, when is it my turn?
Right, yeah. So, well, we got to get to that because I'm very curious about the ARCA series here, and we'll talk about that in a second. How was your quarantine like? What'd you do to not lose your mind?
I did a lot of iRacing, but I did so much of it that I almost got wore out on it. I spent a lot of time with family that I usually don't spend. And so that was good, being off the road, getting to spend some family time and stuff.
Sure.
And then I picked up some new hobbies. Like, I learned how to play golf, and that was fun for sure.
Awesome. All right. What was your hardest thing with getting golf? Because, like, you know, it took me – I mean, I've been playing since I was a little kid. And there are days where it's like – I am breaking every club and I'm never setting foot on a course, but then you get that one shot on like hole 14 that makes the day and you're like, all right, I'll be back.
Yeah. So everything that I hit would slice to the right and I kept getting mad. And then finally I just accepted the fact that I'm no good at golf and I just enjoy doing it. It's just fun.
Absolutely.
And every now and then I'll hit one and it's really good. And I'm like, okay, well, this is fun. It's funner. Whenever you're doing good.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah. Golf is probably a lot like racing. It's one of those love hate relationship type sports where it's like you love to hate it and hate to love it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So I get to play with a few of my buddies too, and that's always fun. Get to spend some time with them.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, racing, such a long season. And if you're not racing, you're at the shop or, you know, practicing on iRacing sort of thing, you know, a lot of time gets lost with friends and family. So I could see where this time off unexpectedly could have been a blessing in disguise for some in the racing industry. But I know everybody is excited to be back racing.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just itching to get back in the car and get my opportunity. I felt like we started off the year super strong, being fifth at Daytona and then qualifying in the top five at Phoenix for my first time ever there and running in the top 10 for the majority of the race until we blew that right front. I felt like we had a lot of good chemistry that we were building as a team, and then all of a sudden this whole coronavirus happens and everything stopped. But I think that that we've stayed on the right path, and then when we get started back, we'll pick up just where we left off.
That's awesome. You know, and it's crazy. You think about, you know, here it is, you know, the last week of May, and we're still talking about races that happened in February and March just because of this whole thing. Like, but that's it's important though, because, you know, Daytona and, as you mentioned, Phoenix, like, those are the only two races that you guys have had. That's what you got to be looking at to carry and build momentum once you guys do get back on the track, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because the iRacing stuff is a very useful tool, but you don't have all the factors that you have on race weekend. Sure. And with your whole team and your team chemistry. Haley's been a good teammate to me so far, and so has Tanner. And I feel as if we've all worked together really, really well and leaned on each other. And it's helped us all three be very successful. I mean, at Daytona, we were all three running in the top five at one point, until Tanner blew up, of course. And then at Phoenix, we all ran in the top 10, top five majority of the race. And so I feel with us working together and our teams working together and the chemistry we have as a whole at DGR Crosley, everything's just banging on all eight cylinders. And then we've been ready to get going back since the first week of quarantine, I believe.
Now, like, to have the three of you ran like an iRacing race together just to kind of get some of that team mentality out on the track, so to speak, as to kind of keep that momentum up as a group?
So I've ran a few with Todd, but I haven't ran any with Haley and Tanner. I'm not even sure that they do a whole lot of iRacing.
Fair enough.
But I do. I have ran with a lot of guys that we've run against on a weekly basis. I did that Wednesday night series, the short track series, and most of the drivers in there were ARCA drivers. And then I did two of the Saturday night Thunder races with all the Xfinity guys and truck guys and ARCA guys. So those were fun to be able to compete against people who I'll actually be racing against on Saturdays.
Sure.
So those were fun to do that. But at the end of the day, I think that you can't you can't really simulate the whole going 200 miles an hour in a turn one thing. And, right. and that's what we're all missing right now. And,
yeah.
And so I think when we get back going, it'll be good.
So, all right. So let's, have you guys gotten any word from, I know even if you did, you probably couldn't say anything, but like, can you hint towards, like, is there any news that you guys have gotten?
So we're hearing that maybe at the end of June,
okay,
is when we'll run our first race, is what we're hearing tentatively. Of course, with this whole virus, I don't think anybody knows any type of schedule really. But with NASCAR's first couple races going so well, it is looking pretty promising for the end of June for us.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. All right, so let's backtrack a little bit here. For those that don't know, you are the grandson of legendary racer Richard Petty. How old were you when that set in, like who your family and the background and legacy and all that was?
So I never really realized it. I always thought he was a big deal around home and in North Carolina. And then when I was 12, we went to the Goodwood Festival of Speed in England, and people were still recognizing him on the other side of the world. And I was like, oh my gosh, like he is a big deal, you know, like this is cool. And so about 12 years old is when I realized that he is, I guess, kind of a big deal.
Oh, that's awesome.
But still, at the end of the day, I think him and Uncle Kyle, they're all just normal, everyday people. Like, we just talk just as if he was anybody else's grandpa.
Sure.
That's how I view him. Like, I go to his house, we watch football, watch hockey, play pool, do whatever, talk about racing. I mean, just your typical grandpa grandson stuff. That's why I've never really viewed him as the king. He's always been peepaw to me.
Sure. No, I would think that's a good way to have it. That way, you don't get caught up in it, and you can kind of create your own name, like, you know, and your own legacy, hopefully, you know, down the road 20, 30 years from now, we'll be talking about Thad Moffitt, and I can go, I remember when.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the plan. Just if everything goes as planned, that's what we'll be talking about in 20, 30 years.
Absolutely. Hey, you mentioned the Goodwood Festival. You actually went back, was it last year, and ran that series or that race yourself there, right?
I did. I drove Grandpa's 1981 Buick the way that he raced it. I gained a lot of respect for him that day when I drove up the hill at Goodwood, with him doing that back in the 80s in that type of equipment. I thought it drove like a boat, steer one way and go the other way. And
did they have the car over there in a museum of something? You know, how did the car that he drove back then, you know, get to the track for you to drive?
So we shipped it in a shipping container. Yeah,
that's
shipped
crazy.
Actually a few of them over there. Childress shipped a few. There was an Earnhardt car over there that somebody drove, and I know Andy Petrie drove one of the 50th anniversary Childress cars, and then there was some Dale Jr. stuff. And there was a lot of NASCAR was well represented in England this year at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, and for me to be able to drive something as special as that 81 Buick was just super cool, having him there with me, and man, it made me respect him running Daytona 2 inches from the wall driving something like that a whole lot more.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. All right. So let's fast forward a little bit. Talk about how you got hooked up with DGR Crosley and what brought all that together.
So actually at that Goodwood Festival of Speed, David and Todd were both there driving the Euro NASCAR series up the same hill that I was. So we got to talking, and Grandpa really thought highly of David, and my dad's always thought really highly of David. And we thought that it would just be the right move for 2020 to to getting some stuff that we thought that we could win races in. And we thought that David was a good fit, and we liked the way that he runs his team and handled his team. And with the move to Ford, we liked that. And we thought that there was a lot of positive momentum bringing myself and Haley and Tanner in, and then Ford coming on board. So we were kind of really excited to get going. And then, of course, all of this coronavirus stuff happened. But the whole thing started back at the Goodwood Festival of Speed, and when we were talking to them about maybe running a few races, and now we're planning on running the majority of the ARCA schedule this year.
That's awesome. You know, one of the things that I think you know, it's kind of shifted in the ARCA series over the last couple of years is, you know, you used to have like a bunch of old guys and a couple young guys sprinkled in, and that is kind of shifting. When you look at the stable that Venturini's got now with DGR Crosley being in the ARCA series, you mentioned you got yourself, you got Tanner, all eyes are on Haley, and then you've got guys over at Venturini. Those, it's really shaping to be a fun up and coming series to watch that I hope starts to build up a little bit more traction now that K&N and all that's kind of getting molded with ARCA and all that. I'm excited for the series. I get to see it every once in a while on TV, or if I'm at MIS, ARCA always comes up there in June. But there's a lot of positives over the next couple of years with the ARCA series.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely going in the right direction since being bought by NASCAR, I believe. And I agree. I think it's a very good young competitive series. I feel like most of the kids are my age, and now I'm becoming one of the older ones with some of the 16 and 17 year olds that are out there running in it. I feel like it's really become a stepping stone before the truck series or Xfinity series or however you choose to climb that ladder. Everybody goes about it different ways, but I think that it's definitely become a big part of the NASCAR scene, and I think we have a lot of positive momentum in our series.
Absolutely. What were some of the other series before you got to ARCA that you ran?
So I started in go-karts and quarter midgets, and I ran those for a few years. Then I went and ran some limited late models in the Southeast Limited Late Model Series in 2015. When we won the championship and a handful of races that year. And then I ran late models, and in 17, I made my debut at Nashville.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, 20 in the ARCA series. And then I haven't had enough sponsorship to run a full season yet, but I've ran like 10 races or 7 races a year, something like that. Every year in the ARCA series with late model races whenever I'm not running in the ARCA car.
It's awesome. And hopefully one day we'll get to see you in a truck, because I'm telling you, the trucks, man, those, I think like with ARCA, the trucks is starting to become a popular series. I love it. We got the truck race tonight, the bounty tonight. I'm excited to have the trucks on while I'm doing the show tonight.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it as well. I think it'll be a great race for sure.
That's great. Thad, where can everybody follow you at and keep up with you on social media?
On Instagram, it would be Thad Moffitt. And then on Facebook, we'd be under Thad Moffitt Racing. And on Twitter, we'll be Thad Moffitt as well. And then if you would like to get some merchandise, you can go to thadmoffitt.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Absolutely love it. Go support that. I love getting some of the up-and-coming grassroots guys, their T-shirts, all that kind of stuff. Go support these younger guys in the ARCA series and all that good stuff. Thad, man, this was fun. I really enjoyed you being on the show, and hopefully we'll get you on here, once you guys get some races under your belt, and we can talk about what's been going on during the season for you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me, buddy.
Absolutely, man. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Stay safe, and good luck the rest of the season.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yep. Lap Traffic Nation. How cool is Thad Moffitt? Man, what a great guy. Really enjoyed talking to him there. can't wait to see Arca back, man. And who knows, you know, Arca might be involved in the show over the next week or so. I guess you'll just have to find out and tune in at the end to see how that might play a part there. Hashtag teaser. Ooh, I need to start doing those a little bit more often. All right. Ah, trucks. They're back tonight. You know what also is back? The Bounty. Yes, it's a special moment in the truck series. So here's my thing, it's such a catch-22 for me. It stinks that we didn't get that first truck race at Atlanta, you know, right off, you know, Kyle Busch's win, Kevin Harvick putting the Bounty out there. You got Marcus Lemon coming out with his ad to the Bounty. You know, there was a lot of momentum going into that truck race at Atlanta. You're going to have Chase Elliott, you know, you all these guys that were trying to put deals together. You had Denny Hamlin basically begging for someone to give him a deal to go out there and race a truck. It was special. You had a special build. You guys know I love wrestling. And when you get that right storyline, that right build to that culmination, whether it be a pay-per-view or a WrestleMania or, you know, a SummerSlam, something like that kind of match, to where you want to tune in for that one specifically. That's what I think was happening around that truck race for Atlanta. I think you were going to get a ton of fresh eyes on the sport because of all of the social media hype. You had the announcers talking about it during the Xfinity and Cup races. There was going to be new viewers, 100%, in my opinion, on that Atlanta truck race. Now, flip side, here we go. 3 months later, basically, and that truck race didn't happen. Pandemic happens, right? And we didn't get it. I felt like we were left, like, you know, with our hands in our pockets, like there's nothing in there. Like, what's going on? Here's the thing. Is that hype there? No, I don't think so. I think a lot of that's gone. But I do still think we're going to get a ton of new viewers for tonight's truck race. And that's because there ain't nothing else going on. There's no baseball. There's nothing going on. We're still kind of in this, like, I don't know what's going on. Not everybody's back to the normal life thing, right? People want sports to watch. It's a truck race. It's a short truck race. I think there's still going to be a ton of viewers. So in the end, I still think we're going to get something positive out of that. And I think we're going to get a lot of new fans for the truck race tonight. At least that's what I'm hoping. I'm jacked. I think you guys can tell I'm jacked. I am so ready for tonight's truck race. And that's, I mean, if that doesn't set the scene, I don't know what else to tell you. You know, I'm going to say between PETM and Sherwin and Rusty, I, Andrew Cantian, and a couple other diehard followers, you know, you get a lot of truck hype. And I'm telling you, if we don't set that for you, I don't know what else I could do to encourage you to watch truck race. So there's that. Good news is we got the truck race tonight at Charlotte, and we are going to get our Atlanta truck race June 6th, which is supposed to be MIS weekend, which I think is ironic that, you know, Atlanta, PETM, good friends, they're getting the race, my MIS June 8th, that ain't going to happen. So no news that I can tell from, you know, obviously I think we're going to get the double at MIS in August. We'll see what happens there, but hopefully that'll be open, you know, even if not for fans. Hopefully they open up they loosen the restrictions on the media at least so that maybe I can go, you know. But for me as a fan, God, I'm going on a left turn here. For me as a fan and a podcaster, you know, someone that's got a normal day job, does this as a hobby, right? You know, and I'm going to go back to what Weaver said on PETM last week in terms of how different it felt at the track. When I go to the track, I don't want it to feel like a mundane job. And that's what I think it would feel like to go without fans and without hype and, you know, without music and, you know, that excitement, that atmosphere is key, right, for a racing race fan. For me, that's key, right? And that's what I want to be able to experience. Even if I'm going as media or as I'm going as a fan, I want to enjoy that atmosphere because I only go to a handful of races a year. So it would be that MIS race in June last year felt weird on a Monday night and there were fans there. It just didn't feel like a normal race atmosphere. So I hope come August we can get some fans back at least, if that's the soonest that we get them. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Xfinity series here. All right, so Xfinity, Charlotte, five different leaders. Kyle Busch picked up Xfinity win one of the year, 97 total on his career. I put this out on Twitter the other night. I think his next three wins in the Xfinity series might be some of the hardest wins he will earn of that total 100 that we all know is an inevitability that he's going to get to. You look at last week with Chase Briscoe, multiple passes, last couple laps there, and Kyle loses the race. He didn't come out on top. He lost the race. This week, speeding penalty, battled back to the front with some help of some annoying cautions that happened at the end of the race. Hell, you had three cautions in the first 29 laps. You know, that was with the competition caution. 11 total cautions for 53 laps. 53 of 203 laps. 80 miles ended up being under caution. That's 26% of the race under yellow. That's too much. But anyways, back to Kyle. You know, the level of competition in the Xfinity series with Briscoe, Cindric, Gregson, Chastain, Allgaier. And that's just the firsthand few that came to my mind when I was putting the notes together. Kyle back in the day would go out, lead 80 to 90% of the race and cruise to a 3-second lead and win it. He is fighting for these wins now, which is at least making it more fun and exciting. But the importance of that is, you know, you could look at it from the side of, you know, oh, Kyle just going out there winning a race. You could look at it from that perspective. But, you know, this isn't the first time we talked about it last week with Briscoe. It's happened before. You're making a name for yourself if you win a race with Kyle Busch out on the track. And I think that's where the level of importance needs to shift. Kyle's going to continue to go out there and win the races. He's going to get 100+. That's great. That's grand. We know the importance of what Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski and these guys being out there on the track does for the sport, the sponsors, all that stuff. We may not like it. That's fine. But the level of competition out there right now with Kyle Busch is what's making the better and more important story that I think the attention needs to be focused to. So that's what I'm going to say about that. Chase Briscoe still in first place. Pretty sizable lead over Austin Cindric. Ross Chastain in third. Harrison Burton, Noah Gregson. I love these names up there. That's awesome. It's still early. We don't know if we got a big three, big two, big four, whatever it may be. But the Xfinity races, if we can think back to the start of the season through now, it's been exciting. It's been fun. I'm enjoying it. And I cannot wait for Sunday at Bristol. First short track of the year, post-pandemic, all that good stuff. I'm excited. I cannot wait. All right. Let's talk a little combined Cup Wednesday night Darlington, Sunday Coke 600. All right. So Wednesday, Darlington race. Listen, it's almost a week old. I know. I'm not going to tell you something you haven't heard about that yet. We all know it was a great race. It was better than Sunday's. I love the emotion from Chase Elliott and all that good stuff. Get to that here in a second. But, you know, shorter race, tire fall off. There's something that I think is here, and I want to get your guys' takes. You'll notice I did not put out my usual, you know, what's your takes or, you know, give you something to think about for feedback. And part of that had to do with because the race at Charlotte ended so late, you know, Sunday into Monday morning, basically, and the holiday weekend. I wanted to make sure I got some response and that it was seen. So I'm going to save that for this weekend at Bristol, because the topic hasn't changed with it. So stay tuned for that. And that's where I say I think something's coming. That's two teasers. I love that. All right. Anyway, I love the emotion, like I said, from Chase Elliott. I think, you know, sometimes maybe he comes off as one of those more, you know, just get in the car and race types without much emotion. But that good old one-finger salute, the emotion you could see from him after that, you know, just demonstrates how much fire he has. And I think while he lost the race and he lost the 600, I think there's a fire now which is going to erupt or very soon. And Chase is about to pull off multiple wins in a short period of time. And that goes for HMS as a whole. HMS is showing speed. They already have the one win as an organization. Could have potentially hit two or three. Jimmy showing speed. Chevy showing speed. HMS overall showing speed. Them and Chase Elliott, they're coming. Watch out. That's all I'm going to say. All right, now for the 600. You know, Mother Nature has not wanted to play very nice with us. Hopefully, we'll be good the rest of the week and next weekend, which Brian will hook us up with that here in a little bit. But like as I mentioned a minute ago, HMS and Jimmy Johnson, they're showing some speed. He had the misfortunes here the last couple races, the DNF penalty post race, not passing inspect, which I don't understand. You know, it happened with Kyle Busch pre-race last week. It happened Jimmy here. How, when there's no practice and all these teams, especially the 18, Joe Gibbs and HMS, they all can duplicate the laser inspection at the shop. How, with no practice? I mean, granted, you're qualifying for the 600. I am just baffled by the fact of the inspections. You know, I know Alex Hayden mentioned it. You know, the inspectors, you know, maybe they're off their game a little bit too, so they're trying to throw a little bit extra at it. But I don't get it with the small amount of track time. It's still baffling to me. But I digress. Can someone please get Clint Bowyer a new Lucky Rabbit's Foot? Can we switch his lucky drawers? Can he go from Hanes to Fruit of the Loom? Something to switch this man's luck. It doesn't matter if it's iRacing, stock car racing. Dude cannot catch a break. Someone needs to get him something new to switch his momentum. All right, moving right along. Lap Traffic Nation, are you watching Tyler Riddick in the number 8 RCR car? Yes, that's right. RCR Tyler Riddick. 4 top 15s, 2 top 10s, and 7 races. Now, some of you might be saying, what's so special about that? Well, there's 2 things that are special about that. The first is it's RCR equipment. RCR hasn't shown speed in years in the Cup Series. Tyler Riddick is the guy you could build a stable around. They're trying to do that, and it's working. And the second reason why it's special is because he's a rookie. He only has 9 Cup starts in his career, you know. I wasn't shy over the fact that I thought Custer would be leading the Rook of the Year charge early because of the equipment, and I couldn't be further from that, from the truth. You know, now Custer could still come out and do some impressive things. So could Christopher Bell. But right now, Tyler Riddick is absolutely amazing, and watch him and start picking him in Lap Traffic Fantasy because I need some help. All right, let's go back to Chase Elliott for a minute here. You know, he was leading the 600. Had he won, I think we could have all gone, all right, he won. He won the crown jewel. All is forgotten about the incident from Kyle Busch. But he did not win. You know, the caution came out at that point, you know, sitting duck. He pits, everyone stays out. He stays out, everyone comes in for tires. You know, for what he did, tons of people, you know, why did they do that? Well, you know, I think they played the card and the chance of getting a second overtime. Had that second overtime come out, he probably goes back to win the race on the fresher tires. You know, either way, they were a sitting duck. They knew they were sitting duck. So come in for tires, and hey, maybe we'll get that second overtime and we can go out and win the race. I don't think that in that specific situation, that late in a race, caution comes out, the leader's in the worst spot. It's like being at Talladega or Daytona in that spot, the leader with one lap to go. You don't want to be there sometimes. That said, we look back, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, he didn't win. So here we are tonight, Bounty, Chase Elliott's in the truck race, Kyle Busch is in the truck race. If there was going to be redemption, tonight would be the night to do it, because it's not going to hurt either of them, regardless of tonight's outcome, from a cup and a championship perspective. So I am even more excited. And that's where I said at the start of the show, where there's still some factors and some key things that are going to play into tonight's truck race and the Bounty and all that good stuff. So here also when I kind of tease the cup race and what I'm going to ask you guys next week is, and I'm going to put it out here now, and you can start sending them to me whenever, is what do you guys think about the no practice? We've only had the one qualifying at the 600, you know. Where are you guys at in terms of, I'm not going to say, does that add to better racing? But what I will say, does that add to more exciting racing? The fact that we don't have the practice to the degree, or we haven't had it at all. So do you guys like that? Would you like to see some form? I think we'll eventually get back to some type of practice. What do you guys think? Do you want practice?
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
That's right. We talk about practice. What do you guys think? Do you like practice or not? All right. That is going to do it for the race discussion and all that good stuff. It is time for a little lap traffic social media. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. TikTok, at Lap Traffic PC. YouTube, The Lap Traffic Podcast. And, of course, the all-important Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you listen to the show, subscribe, download, leave a review, all that good stuff, and, of course, 5 stars. Don't forget about the T-shirt and hat giveaway at 4,500 followers. Keep plugging away at that. Slowly but surely going to get there. And, of course, the 5,000 follower giveaway, the rear quarter panel there as well. Some new follower shout-outs, Gold Street at Gold Cold Snow from Minnesota. And winner of Bush Light for a year. That's awesome that you won that. That's so cool. Matt Neer at RaceFan4Life72, sim racer and a race fan. Garrett Murray at Garrett_Murr, high school sports announcer, big fan of NASCAR. Welcome to the show. And NASCAR fan at 48 NASCAR FN, Big Jimmy Johnson fan. Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you like it. Tell your friends. Tell them to come follow as well. Don't forget about T-shirts, hoodies, all that good stuff around the store. Stickers and koozies. I've got probably about 10 maybe that requests have come in from that, which if you want a free sticker and koozie, go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page. I will send those out once the stay at home in Michigan is lifted. So as soon as that's lifted, those are going to go out. So can't wait to see some new pictures of those full of your favorite beverage. But in the meantime, it is time to get one of the Lap Traffic meteorologists on the line, Mr. Brian Newdorf. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line. You can follow him on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN, along with Aaron Studwell, keeping us all up to date on the actual weather for the actual racing that we've had going on. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Brian Newdorf. Sir, good evening. How are you?
Doing okay. The one thing that's been interesting is people have been asking us, what's wrong with the weather? Why is it, you know, we have all these races and it's just been wet. What's weird? Why is this pattern weird? I think it's not the weather that's weird. It's NASCAR that's weird. Let's think about it. When we do 4 races, we do them over 4 weeks.
Right.
We're doing 4 races, or at least when I say 4 races, I'm talking cup. I mean, we've had a lot more than that. But, you know, when we do 4 weekends worth of racing, it's over 4 weeks, 4 weekends. So, you know, Aaron and I were both talking about this, and the general idea is patterns can last 10 to 14 days. Well, that kind of fits with what we've been seeing. So, you know, we only have to typically, when we go to a place for NASCAR, you're there for 3 days.
Yeah.
And then you move on to the next place. And it can be, plus, if you think about it, Darlington and Charlotte, I mean, what?
They're essentially located to each other.
They're not you're not talking about different climates, okay?
Yep. Well, so I said, it was a tall order for what is it? It was 7 races in 11-day span. That's, you know, you needed a lot to go your way not to have any influence or you know, Mother Nature taking her course there a little bit. So,
and outside of the Wednesday race being rain shortened,
Yeah.
But I, by the way, speaking of the rain shortened, I love people who, you know, I've decided I'm just going to concede. If you want to believe the vortex theory, by all means, we know you. I know you sing its praises. I mean, you bow down at the altar of DW every night. How your wife does that, I don't know. But it's kind of embarrassing, folks. I mean, he's got this like fat head. And it's not – we're not talking fat head of DW the driver. No, we're talking about fat head of DW the announcer. It is kind of a little unnerving. But, hey, whatever fits Brandon, I don't – you know.
I think now I'm really just going to have to get one now. Because I think now I have to get a fat head of DW just so that I can like – troll.
Boogity boogity boogity, right?
Troll your Twitter account with
no. I want to
post you do of me with a selfie with DW's fat head picture and
holding up your weather app.
Yeah, I'm gonna do both. Yeah, I'm gonna do a side by side collage of that. Wow. Yep, that's probably gonna happen.
I already have your tease now. What does rain, a fat head of DW, and this all have in common? Tune into Lap Traffic. I mean, that's right there. I'm writing your material for you. There you go. Your great promo.
Oh, that's hysterical. Oh, that's really good. How was Memorial Weekend? All that good? Do you have any good barbecue?
I worked. Well, no. I mean, people are allowed to gather for barbecues?
Where are you are living? Up here now, yeah. We're allowed to have – here's the funny thing. We're allowed to have – oh, and I'm not going political. I don't do that here. But
– I know you don't.
We are allowed to have gatherings of 10 or less. However, this is the crazy thing in my opinion – is that Metro Detroit, all three main counties that make up the Metro Detroit area, are still on an extended stay at home until June 12th. But the governor opened up most of northern Michigan, where all the tourists go for, you know, their weekend cottages, cabins, and weekend getaways. So what did everybody do?
They went north.
When 2 weeks ago she was begging everybody not to go to their cabins, cottages, and second homes because the infrastructure couldn't handle an overload. So I don't get that. That's as political as you guys are ever going to hear me get.
I know.
On the show. And but that, I mean,
that was, you know what? I'm already triggered. Okay. It's just too much for me to handle.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Now I need a big fat head of DW. I just actually, I need what mine. It's got to be Larry Mack. Okay. At a radar, at a green screen. That's what I want.
Don't test me with a good time. You're going to get I have your address from your trophy that you won. So
it's true. Actually, no, you don't.
Oh, no, that's right.
No, you don't. I moved. You
knew it. Oh, damn. So I can't surprise you with that, but.
Well, you could. It takes some time forwarding unless it's like shipped. Then whoever lives in an apartment is going to be like, what the heck?
Oh, that's funny. Well, man, let's transition. We still got a couple races to go here at Charlotte. How's the rest of the Charlotte race week looking?
Well, it depends on when this is going to air, because I don't want to say something about the truck race while this is recording, you know.
Well, honestly, this is going to drop within probably about 10 minutes of the truck green flag going tonight. So,
you know, go to Twitter during the race and keep track of the weather that way for the truck race.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right. Well, let's worry about, you know, let's worry about the Wednesday race, and then we'll look ahead to the Bristol weekend.
Yes. What do we got?
Well, the big concern about Wednesday, and I think I'm fatigued. I like having shorter. I like having breaks between all of these forecasts and stuff like that. I mean, for a guy who literally this is just a hobby. Yeah. This is way too much work. Okay. I surprisingly enough, before we move forward, thank you. Most of you did not send me weather apps, so that's great. I didn't think I got one.
Words.
I always like the people who tell me when I put out a forecast that I'm wrong already.
Right.
And I, you know, no, I'm not going to call anybody out. This is no, my viewpoint has basically been with some of this stuff is generally speaking, we put out a forecast based on what we see, based on the information provided. And actually Aaron and I talk, we don't always agree. We try to kind of find a compromise. So, you know, I may lean lower, he may lean higher, we may find ourselves in the middle someplace. And that's kind of how we kind of get on message with our forecast. But I will tell you, a forecast, and that's what it is, it's a forecast. When we put it out day one, day two, day three, before an event, it's not either right or wrong. All right. It's just what we think. A good example is leading up to Wednesday. I'm probably leaning more pessimistic. The concern I have is we've got a tropical low, not a storm system, but a tropical low coming up out of around Florida. The question is, and even at this short time, and as we're recording this, we're about 24 hours or so out.
Yep.
We're going to here's the thing. The models, the forecast tools we use aren't even on agreement. They're about a 200-mile span on where they think the center of this thing is going to be 24 hours from now. So there's a wide discrepancy on – it's kind of basically you're going to – you know, you've had a practice round on NASCAR, and each lap was considerably different, okay? And now you got to try to figure out which one is going to be the one when you finally go run your qualifying lap or two.
Yep.
So that's kind of where we're at, and – so the things that I'm seeing, it's you know, I kind of go back to that one, I think it was the first Saturday race or the first Sunday race for Charlotte, where it was misty. It was drippy a little bit after the rain had kind of moved through. And so we had to wait on that a little bit. Thankfully, we got through, Darlington.
Yep.
The start of that race that was ended up, you know, so. You know, the question is, will this get out of here fairly quickly? It does look like it wants to get through, but it may be delayed. I think both Aaron and I agree there's a delay potential, higher delay potential. And so I think we're thinking along 65-75%. I think 65-75, I'm 65, maybe more me, but the 65-75% odds of racing on Wednesday for the Cup race. And it just depends on a lot of different facts. And we will know more tomorrow. We'll know more Wednesday morning and throughout the day. And I'll provide updates as I can, because I'll have to be working. So, that's how we're seeing. And then looking ahead to Bristol, overall, you know, fairly fair weather. It's just some of the indications that maybe there's a chance of rain on Sunday. But again, this is way out there.
Sure.
So I wouldn't cancel your plans to view the race.
Plans to go to the race, right?
I think people, you know, we're still scheduling time to watch the race. But I think this gives – I mean, outside of TV commitments, I still think this gives NASCAR plenty – I mean, what other sport does Fox Sports have right now that they need to show anyway? So, you know, everybody can sit and wait. It's live sports. People will wait. I mean, that's the beauty about not having fans there is the fact that, you know, we can wait things out a little longer than we normally might be able to because of contracts with television and fans in the stands and that kind of stuff. So we will wait and see what happens. But generally speaking – overall, I think we're good. We're just tomorrow. Wednesday is the day that I'm a little concerned about. It's going to get wet, and we're going to get a lot of tweets in the morning. Oh, and by the way, you know, we don't like calling for rain. All right, but we need to find out. But we need, but we need to find a happy medium. And I, Aaron and I both have had this. You know, when we say it's going to be nice, but people see rain in the forecast, we get several tweets that say, "Oh, they're not going to run. You're full of it." Blah 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 blah. And then when we say, "Oh, I think we're more positive," and we see hope. Oh, scrap it. I mean, it's like 4 hours beforehand, and it's right. One thunderstorm. Well, let's scrap it. They're going to run tomorrow. You guys are. So that's how those, by the way, that's how they sound in my head.
I believe every minute of that. All right. Well, before you head out real quick. So it's been a minute since we've been able to talk the head to head weather battle for you and Aaron in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. And Aaron nudged you at Darlington. So Aaron's up 3-2. But the trend has continued. Who is ever on that week has won. So odds,
I gotta ask,
odds are going to suggest that you're going to tie things up this week.
Okay, because I was thinking, I'm double checking my who I picked. Or maybe you have them handy.
I do not have them handy.
No, let me just – that's what the scent part and the emails are good.
Yes. So this is from Darlington where you guys
– So far, Del, this is – so I'm a little disappointed because I picked Chase Elliott.
Yeah, well
– granted, he came in second.
Yep.
I picked Briscoe.
Okay, that's not looking too good for you there.
No, probably not. And I got Austin Hill and then Kevin Harvick for
tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
Solid picks. I like that.
So, you know, as you start running out of numbers and people you can pick, it becomes a little harder.
Yes,
so
absolutely. Yes. Yeah. That's the,
but you know, yeah, I mean, yeah, I was watching the race and I'm like, why did they pull him out? Why did he, you know, I was not exactly a fan of that move, This is a long, it's, well, it could be a long season. I don't know. It could shut down tomorrow, as far as I know. I don't want to say it's
Yes.
But no, other than that, yes, I was cheering on, but he got second. That's not bad.
Nope. No, not at all. Not at all. So we'll
unless Aaron picked Kozlowski, then I'm in trouble.
I don't think he picked Kozlowski. There were not too many people that picked Kozlowski. I don't believe he was one of them. So
I think I already picked him for something. I think I picked him for Vegas possibly. So I don't remember my picks. So.
All righty. Well, sir, great catching up with you, and look forward to talking with you in a couple weeks here.
Sounds like a plan, but again, everybody can follow Aaron at RaceWeather, yes. The doctor, you know, yeah. Mr. PhD.
Yes.
I'm just a lone guy with his undergrad. and then, of course, myself at NASCAR_WXMAN. For those of you who don't know, number one, I know we're in a sport where WAX is an actual thing, but WX is the Morse code abbreviation for weather. So for those of you who pay attention, if you ever want to know why I choose WXMAN, that's an abbreviation for weather man. And back in the day with Twitter, you can understand characters were important.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. I like that little tidbit of information there. That's
so
fantastic.
Yeah, that, a lot of people don't understand why do you have NASCAR WXMAN? It's the WX is a, for at least for us weather geeks, that's an abbreviation for weather.
Excellent. Awesome. All righty, brother. Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll see ya. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, so great to catch up with Brian Newdorf. Catch him in a couple weeks. You guys know what time it is. It's time to see who you guys voted for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down picks of the weekend. You guys know the drill. After the race weekend, you can tweet your Lucky Dog Lap Down picks. I'll read them. I'll tag you guys after the show. Or you can call the Wave Around Hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there, and I'll play them on the show. All right, my picks, Lucky Dog. To all those servicemen and women who are no longer with us, thank you all for your service. Hope your families were able to celebrate your memory this past weekend for sure. Lap Down, Chase Elliott, and Hamlin. And Hamlin, because he went from winning to starting lap down in the longest race of the year. God, that had to be such a long... Like, at that point, I would have gotten... Like, you know what? Pack it up. I'm done. Like that had to be the longest. I mean, it was the longest race ever, right? But man, the mental game that had to play on you to sit there knowing that you are laps down with not a chance in hell of winning that race, to be 8 laps down to start that thing. Oh, that had to hurt. All right. There are a bunch of tweeted responses because we've got both the Wednesday and the 600 race in here. So let's get started. Braxton at Braxton Chris, a lucky dog. Anyone who thinks they know the NASCAR rulebook better than Bob Pockris. Well said, sir. Can't put it any better myself. Matt at Matt X Kolbs, a lucky dog from Wednesday. Mike Joy with the quote of the week, but he ends up giving it to Denny. No way he wins without the rain. Lap down, Matt D had a strong hot rod, had to play it safe with tires, didn't get the finish he deserved. From Sunday, Matt's lucky dog goes to Matt D from lap down on Wednesday to the lucky dog tonight with a decent finish. Him and Harvick are the two drivers to have all top 20 races. That's cool. I like that fact. Lap down is Mr. Seventh Time. Hate that DQ for him. Glad he didn't win to get it stripped. Good call there. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog. Kyle Busch, a lap down is Boyer. Checker to wrecker. Mr. 200 Series win, still can't drive like a professional. Mr. Kyle Busch, they're getting an extra lap down there as well. CJ at CJ LaPearl's lucky dog, Denny. Great and lucky call by his crew. Lap down Kyle with a boneheaded move to the 9, who most likely would have passed the 11. Had a better car all night. He's biased as a Chase fan, but Kyle's an ass. I like that, CJ. Very nice. And CJ's lucky dog for Harvick on Sunday. Quiet all night, but still managed another top 10. He can't. Yeah, that was. I wasn't expecting that. That last caution helped Harvick get that top 10. CJ's lap down for Sunday. Byron, bad finish, screwed his teammate. Yep, that's a true story there. Matt at Camper News, lucky dog 48 after the crash on Sunday, coming back to finish in the top 10. However, that went away. Lap down Chase had a great run going on, had it wrecked at the end. If he didn't have it happen, he would have won the race. Jess at Iowa NASCAR fans, a lucky dog for Wednesday. Mother Nature for letting us get most of it in and Denny Hamlin for being lucky, and that mask. Yes, lots of love for the mask. Lap down for Jess Mother Nature for not letting us finish it, and Kyle Busch. I don't know why it would be intentional, but I don't know how he could misjudge it that bad. P.S. Tonight was great for tire wear. Yes, Wednesday was absolutely fantastic. All right, Jess is a lucky dog for Sunday. All the vets, especially those lost this weekend, is about them. Nothing else, not even racing. Way to put it. Lap down, Alan Gustafson and Chase. Why pit? An honorable lucky dog goes to Miller Lite. Let's get back to sponsoring more races. Good call there. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons. Lucky dog on Wednesday. The 11 team, the Toyotas, are back in the game. Lap down. I got to give it to Kyle. He's much too good for the miscue that took out Elliott. I can see where you're coming from there. And Rowdy's Sunday's picks. Lucky dog, Tyler Reddick with another top 10, 100%. Rowdy's watching Tyler Reddick. Lap down, William Byron with another bad finish to end another decent run. And Eddie at Eddie underscore EG3's lucky dog, JGR, starting to take a step forward with all the cars finishing inside the top 10, plus three of the four cars leading laps with the 11 getting the win. Lap down, 18, the rain and a bit of social distancing saved him. Good call there. Nathan at Almirola underscore Fords, a lucky dog goes to Kyle Busch for not getting murdered after the race. Yeah, I can see that. Lap down, Chase, for the unfortunate accident near the end. It was probably an accident, but I wouldn't blame him if he wants revenge. Yes, sir. Maybe we'll see that tonight. Who knows? Lisa at LL Chananas, lucky dog. All the servicemen and women that were honored today. She goes, yes, I'm sappy. I'm with you there. Lap down for Lisa is Chase Elliott. Kristen at Kay Hoglin, lucky dog, Christopher Bell for the awesome save. Lap down, 48 for racing 600 miles for nothing. Goodbye to a second place finish. That's great. And Joey at Joey underscore CLT's lucky dog, Brad Kay, as far as the 600. But is it too late to save Briscoe? What a story. What a race. 100%, sir. Lap down is Johnson over Hamlin or Elliott, but all are deserving. I'm with you there. All right. Those are your awesome tweeted responses. Let's get to the calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
What's up, Brandon? Voice of the Wave Around Hotline calling in for weekly take part one, I guess. I'll keep them both nice and short. I am at Racing Chance, driver of a Toyota Corolla, and Kyle Busch is an ass. Gross misjudgment on Kyle's part. Chase giving him the old one-finger salute is absolutely hilarious. Fandom aside, Kyle made a horrible mistake. Two-time champion's not going to do something like that on purpose. Curious to see the difference in how those two race each other, you know, moving forward. Kyle's the easy lap down for me, and I hate to say this, but Denny Hamlin's the lucky dog. Not only did he get me some, you know, good vantage points tonight since I picked him, but that mask was actually pretty damn hilarious. Gotta give credit where credit's due. Denny is a master here at Darlington. More weeknight NASCAR races, please. Hopefully once this whole pandemic thing blows over, we can get more of those. And, well, I guess we're gonna about to fire up some engines tonight for the Xfinity Series and a lot more racing in Charlotte next week. So y'all enjoy that. Have a good Memorial Day weekend and stay safe out there.
Mr. Angie Cantrian with call one of two on the Wave Around Hotline. That obviously coming from the Wednesday Darlington. And I already see he's got a call on here for after the 600 here. So we'll close things out with him as well. Let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hi, Brandon. It's Matt at Tampa News Net on Twitter. The longest race of the year, the Coca-Cola 600, absolutely, you know, seeing the race tonight, absolutely, you know, glad to have sports back, you know, with NASCAR and everything. And, you know, towards the end, it was very exciting. Wasn't expecting that caution at the end, you know. Unlike with the weather, you know, even though we had that a little over an hour delay, you know, I'm glad to see we actually got a race in for the first time since we came back without issues, except for Sunday, of course. Sunday last week was good with the weather. But, you know, I'm glad to see, you know, the weather at least somewhat cooperated tonight. So anyway, let me just get on with it. Lucky dog, definitely Jimmy Johnson. Second place finish tonight. I really hope to see Jimmy on his farewell season get that win. We'll see. Hopefully it could be during before the playoffs, and maybe he might go out with a playoff appearance this year, but we'll see where things go. But absolutely great to see Jimmy after last weekend having that wreck, coming back for a second place finish and lap down Chase Elliott, you know, at the end. I don't understand why Alan Gustafson decided to have Chase pit. I really don't understand that. And it's bad luck for Chase. He had that win, I thought, but that caution came out, and that unfortunately didn't put and go in his favor. So hopefully maybe we'll see Chase in victory lane at some point down the road. So anyway, enjoy your week, Brandon, as always, and I'll talk to you next weekend after Bristol, baby. Take care, and thank you so much.
Hey, Matt, thanks for calling in. Appreciate you as always. You know, and as I said at the start of the show, and I could be dead wrong, but, you know, Chase Petton, not Petton, damned if you do, damned if you don't there. Either way, with as late as that caution came out, I don't think whoever was leading the race was going to win that race. And, you know, it's kind of like the old sit and duck days with the tandem draft, you know, back at Daytona, Talladega. You know, you just are sometimes in a wrong place, wrong time. And that was the case for Chase there. If he was in second place when that caution came out, you know, and then he could have reacted to what the leader did, maybe different story. But he was in the lead, and I think that's, again, just wrong place, wrong time. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I am absolutely loving this back-to-back racing. I think that NASCAR has done a great job with all of this. They have to navigate through a very difficult circumstance to get these cars back on the track. They're dealing with not only logistics within their organization, but they're having to work out things with other states. And then you add in the rain that they've had. I think that they're just doing a phenomenal job. I have absolutely no complaints whatsoever. And we're finally going to see some NAS trucks racing, and I'm very excited for that. They're way overdue. My lucky dog this week is going to go to Hamlin with his literal face mask last Wednesday. I thought that was really, really funny, very creative. And luckily he had the smiley face one. Apparently he was also going to get like a sad or mad face one and didn't get to that. So funny that it worked out the way it did. But again, I really enjoyed that. I thought that was pretty cool. My lap down this week, it has to go to the heartbreaking finish last night for Tommy Joe Martin. It was not anything that he did. It was just the wrong place at the wrong time. And in fact, he likely was headed to a top 10 finish, which for any team to finish top 10 is a pretty good day. But for a team like his, it just would have been huge. And again, it was just an absolute heartbreaking moment to see that they have fast cars. He's running good times. They just have had a lot of bad, crappy luck. And hopefully they can turn that around. It was just devastating. Anywho, I guess that's all I have for now. I will talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you so much for calling in. Glad to hear you back here. Back-to-back weeks. Absolutely love it. And yeah, man, what a heartbreak for Tommy Joe. I talked with Sherwin earlier today via text, and he had said he texted him all as well. Just unfortunate that he wrecked up that race car. That's for sure there. All right. Let's close it out with the voice of the Wave Around Hotline.
What's up, Brandon? Voice of the Labor on Hotline at Racing Camps. I think I'm still in phase two reopening. Hot Takes Coke 600 edition. I'll keep this one short. My last down has got to be Alan Gustafson. I don't know what in the bleep he was thinking. Really reminded me of the call that Todd Gordon and Ryan Blaney made at the end of the Vegas race. I think you're going to look back at those two calls, and I think that's really going to potentially affect how crew chiefs call the end of the races now when we get these late cautions. Yeah. They're going to happen. And my lucky dog is whoever left the damn ballast out on Denny Hamlin's car. Give that guy a raise. Denny Hamlin starts the longest race of the year, 8 laps down in DFL. That was hilarious. You love to see it. That guy's my lucky dog, I should say. Have a good one, Brandon, and enjoy some truck racing tonight. Go Chase!
Oh, I love it, Mr. Andrew Cassian. I'm going to have to go and look up that guy's name to add to the Excel sheet for keeping track of all these. That's absolutely hysterical. I can't think of any better way to end that. All right. That is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog Lapdown Picks. I love them. You got the Wednesday submissions, the Sunday submissions. Keep them coming for the truck race tonight and the cup race tomorrow. And we'll add them all with Bristol after this weekend. You guys rock with this. It's absolutely awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time for the first full official fantasy segment post-pandemic. Just a reminder, get your picks in by midnight on, we're racing on Saturday, so we got to go get your picks in by midnight on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up, all that good stuff. About 9 weeks to go here in segment one, or let's say 9 races, whatever comes first. A few players ended up doubling up and getting at least one win in the cup and the Xfinity win, but no one swept the weekend. Week high was 139 points by Robert Riggs with his picks of Harvick, Briscoe, and Kyle Busch. Who cares what my picks were because I'm in 39th. Is it time for segment two yet? And we have some changes in the standings. However, first place remains unchanged, as that is Brad Kearns. He's in first with 531 points. In second is Jess Rose with 515. In third is Matt Camper with 514. In fourth is Chad Robb with 509. In fifth is Joe Hewson with 493. Toby Christie from the final lap is in sixth with 490. Greg Whited is in seventh with 486. Mick Rose is in eighth with 485. Nathan Singleton in ninth with 479. My uncle and Paul Napier are in 10th with 471. All right, let's get to the picks this week, eh? All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line for some picks. It's the first time in over, 2.5 months that got a guest picker on the line. Lap Traffic Fantasy is back. Joining me on the line is Mike Tuck at Mike Tuck 12. Mike, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Doing good, man. Awesome. Ready for this weekend, especially being Bristol.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited. My goal is to have this show posted by the start of the truck race so that I can go watch some trucks tonight. We got some
absolutely
traffic fantasy, and yes, Bristol, hell yes. All right, so before we get to picks and all that good stuff, so Robert Riggs actually was the week high this past week, and you messaged me saying Robert wants me to make the picks on his behalf. So how do you know Robert Riggs, who is the lead for this week, and what's the story there?
So I actually met Robert actually talking sports, talking Texas football and fantasy sports for baseball before we got into the NASCAR stuff and stuff like that on DraftKings. And I asked him one day, I said, hey, do you know my cousin Daniel Jones? And he was like, well, yeah, that's my cousin too. I was, wow.
That's crazy. So you guys are related.
Yeah, we're actually cousins.
That's
never met
crazy.
Him.
I never met. That is, what a small world, man. That's so
my great grandma, actually, when she passed, I was told left behind 101 siblings.
Wow.
You know, between grandmas and uncles and grandchildren. Yeah, my family is so huge on my mom's side that I meet new family members all the time.
That's crazy. that. What a story. That's awesome. I absolutely love that.
But sports actually got us to know each other and then found out we were related.
That's awesome. I absolutely love that.
Yeah. He is in the middle of the ocean right now. He's an oil field worker.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So he does not have very good service. A lot of times we can't even text and chat back and forth. So he sent me his picks and wanted me to do it for him.
Excellent. I love that. Well, make sure you either remind him or make sure when you send your picks, you send me his as well, so I don't forget them and can get them logged and all that good stuff.
Most definitely will, bud.
Excellent. All right. Before we get to the picks, what'd you think of Charlotte this past weekend and NASCAR being back in general?
I liked it and I disliked it. I mean, it seemed to be good racing where second place seemed to be able to stay kind of with the leader. But at the same time, once they hit that bubble of air, they were just stuck.
Yeah. Well, unless you had that, I mean, and we didn't even see it really happen. But if you didn't have someone get to your bumper on the inside lane, by the time you got to the backstretch, I mean, you were done with. You didn't even have a shot come three and four.
Yeah, I think on DBC this morning, I listened to it. They said that Joey Gase was the reason that MTJ was able to pass and get the lead because the lap car slowed down. I think it was Bowman.
Yeah, but that sounds about right. Well, I wonder what we're going to get with the truck race tonight because those guys are going to slide all over the place. Rubber's on the track. I don't think it's rained since last night. So
there is a comp caution at 15.
There is a – okay. All right. Well, I wonder if that's just because those guys haven't been on the track at all or I don't know.
It's very well possible. I don't know if it's rained there or not.
But I think this is going to be a great truck race. It's going to be the best one we've had so far. And then we're going to go back truck racing at Atlanta. Yes, sir. Give me that all day.
I am ready.
All right, brother. You ready to make some picks?
Let's do it, buddy.
All right, Lap Traffic Fantasy. We are headed to the last great Coliseum at Bristol, baby, where Toyota, more specifically Kyle Busch, have dominated this race. Toyota winning four of the last five and Kyle with three of the last five. And if anyone still has Kyle left to be picked, I would expect to see a lot of picks for Kyle. I also expect to see a lot of picks for Matt D. He was leading late in the Bristol night race last year, only to lose to Denny Hamlin, who was charging on fresher tires. I also expect to see a lot of Matt DiBenedetto picks this weekend at Bristol. And don't forget about the other Busch brother. He's got six wins and a handful of top tens, that being older brother Kurt. I'm excited to get to our first short track post-pandemic. Will Matt D get redemption from August? Can I put together a solid week? We only get two races this weekend. Let's see what happens. But first, it's time for our picks. Mike, we'll start with you. Who does Rob have for the Xfinity Series next weekend?
For the Xfinity Series, he's going Austin Cindric.
Austin Cindric, solid pick. I went with him this week, I think. I am going with Ryan Sieg. He's been on fire as of late, had a little unfortunate circumstance this past weekend at Charlotte. But I like what Ryan Sieg's doing, so we're going to try and throw some Hail Marys here. Over to the Cup Series, who's Robert got?
He is going with Denny Hamlin this week.
Denny Hamlin, solid, safe pick there. I think a lot of people have him used up, so good on him for saving him. I'm going to go with older brother Kurt Busch. Why not? Let's see what happens there. Oh, all right. Those are our picks, Lap Traffic Fantasy. Cannot wait to see who you guys take. Mike, it was great to talk to you. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you soon and get your picks on the Lap Traffic Fantasy.
Man, I keep trying. I have better luck on DraftKings.
I wish I could say I had better luck there. I just want luck somewhere. That's all.
I hear you, man.
All right, man. Enjoy the truck race tonight. We'll catch you soon.
Absolutely.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Oh, so good to get a full fantasy segment back. That is going to do it for episode 184 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, iTunes, Podbean, all that good stuff. Big thanks to Thad Moffitt, Brian Newdorf, Mike Tuck for calling in this week. Next week, Michael Palmer, everyone's favorite ER nurse from Michigan, will be on. And the Orange Cone just confirmed during the show. The Orange Cone will be back next week. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!